Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we are back for hour two here on The Scorecard on Chicago Sports Radio 670. I'm Mike Esposito, and we'll Tour Championship later this hour. Right now, though, Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. There we find Mike, Director of Golf Association. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Michael. Great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Can you just tell us a little bit about your background, Michael? You are a native of Chicago, and where did you get this golf bug that's kept you in the industry for so long?
My dad introduced me to the game about 12 years old, and I grew up playing Pipe of Peace Golf Course out on the south side of Chicago and played some at Jackson Park also, but I was surrounded by a bunch of adults that I call my surrogate parents, and they kind of nurtured me and helped me fall in love with the game.
And you've been in Florida, living down in Florida for a number of years. You were involved in the first tee down there of Tampa for a while, and oversaw that. What is your role now? Tell us a little bit about this tour and what exactly who it's for and how what the purpose of it and just sort of give everybody an outline.
Sure. The Advocates Pro Tour, our mission is simply to increase diversity in the game of golf, not only from a playability standpoint, but also in the workforce. So my background with the first tee and in playing, when I moved to Florida at 23 years old, I was trying to make it to the big dance. I wanted to play the PGA Tour, and I got out of the cold to play the mini tours and chase my dream and fell a bit short, and then started doing youth programs and working in the industry. And I always saw, too many times, I was the only black person in the room. And I just, as the youngest of seven, I knew how much it did for me, the game did for me, and my family, that I just wanted to give more people that same opportunity. And the tour is a byproduct of that. Good friend of mine, Adrian Steeles, black gentleman who played the tour back in the 80s, said at the time that we needed more events that our young aspiring pros could not only sharpen their game, but to get exposure. And that's what we've been trying to do for them since 2010, is bring more exposure, and hopefully some of them can find some sponsors and chase their dream and make it all the way to the PGA Tour. Not only make it, but to be a champion. We'd love one Sunday to be watching the telecast and see one of our young men walking up to the winner's table. That would be great.
That would be great. And how many players do you have on the tour now, and how many events?
We cap it at 60 members, and we typically will have between 45 and 50 players at each event. We have, in a normal season, we have one event a month from February through September. This COVID, everything changed with COVID, and we had a condensed schedule, and we played six events in 10 weeks. We just finished up with our championship event out in Los Angeles, and very thankful to be able to get in those six. It's been a challenging season, to say the least.
Yeah, it certainly has, Michael, and we're talking to Michael Cooper, Director of Operations, Advocates Professional Golf Association. You can visit the website at apgatour.org. And you mentioned it too, Michael, and I'm sure that with the explosion of Tiger Woods, I guess 23 or 24 years ago, everyone was like, oh, well, this will open the floodgates, for African-Americans and minorities, to to be more prevalent in golf. Have you seen that come as far as, it certainly is not as far as you want it to, but has that door really been opened? Did Tiger kind of open that, or is it still a work in progress that that you're seeing?
Oh, definitely a work in progress, and I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of the research and studies within the golf industry, and the data shows that the Tiger Mania, as it was called back then, certainly increased viewership and spectators. I know for a fact my mom, God rest her soul, if Tiger Woods was in the hunt, she'd watch golf, and she knew very little about golf, but she would watch it. But it did create a buzz and excitement in viewership, but the data doesn't show that it really increased play that much. And so I think the industry and a lot of people kind of relaxed when Tiger and then the first tee started right about that same time when he exploded. And I think the diversity and inclusion part was kind of taken, that it's solved, and it backed off, and here we are in 2020 still trying to create programs and initiatives to increase D&I. Matter of fact, I heard Jay Monahan, Commissioner Monahan, in his State of the Game address the other day speak to diversity and inclusion and how they're going to ramp up their involvement, as is the PGA of America. So hopefully this time there's certainly heightened enthusiasm right now, not only in golf. Golf is just a microcosm of society somewhat. In America, there's a heightened interest in D&I, and hopefully this time golf will push through and we'll get the demographics that reflect our country.
Yeah. You know, it's tough for a lot of people. I remember growing up in Chicago, and boy, we didn't play golf because we didn't have, you know, there was nowhere to play, and, you know, it was a pain in the neck to get there, et cetera, and so forth, and you had to have clubs, and then there were all these other sports around, you know, baseball, softball, basketball, football, et cetera, you know, the regular typical sports. How do we introduce more kids to the game, especially minority kids, which I think depending on what neighborhood you live in Chicago, it's even a tougher ask. Oops, I can't hear. Sorry, I lost you.
Yep, no, we lost him. Adam is going to get him back on.
Okay, sorry about
that.
See,
even from landlines, Barry. Even from landlines.
I felt like one of those spacewalkers getting disconnected from the capsule, and then, you know, being in a David Bowie song, you know.
Yeah, well, we've had cell phone issues. Now we've had landline issues. Now all we need is Lucy Live app issues.
That's what I thought it was that time, and that would be a big time technical difficulty. But you know, it's funny. You know, we talk a lot about you know, just what Michael was talking about, and you know, it's difficult for a lot of kids to get access, to get clubs, to get over to the golf course. And it seems like golf is certain people can play it. It's just easier to play and you know, have the opportunity. You look at a guy like a Justin Thomas. You know, he grew up in Kentucky. His dad was a golf professional, great teacher, mm-hmm. and he owned a golf course. So
that helps.
That's pretty
that
good
definitely
access,
helps.
You know.
Yeah, for sure.
So, okay.
We're rejoined by Michael Cooper, and Michael, sorry for the technical issues, but you were speaking to, you know, access, I guess, of, you know, kids, minority children, African American kids to the game of golf, certainly as young people.
Yeah, and as I was saying, the community revitalization program in the Jackson Park area should be great for that purpose, bringing a different demographic, a greater demographic to the game. But there are a number. There's the first tee programs, PGA Junior League, a number of programs, a number of ways to get folks involved. But I think that we spend a lot of time on the junior golfer, which is great. That's the future. But I think even in the present, that even adults who play, it's a game of invite. And you, if everyone could just invite one person to get into the game and try it out, it's not for everybody, but we lack exposure to the sport. And right. Once exposed to it, I know for me, I was so competitive that I had to get better. If I was going to continue to play, it drove me to practicing and trying to get better. And I think that that's the hook for a lot of successful business folk right now, is it challenges them. But if you're not exposed to it, you don't know. So I would offer that everybody who plays and loves the game can invite one person to try it out, be it a junior or an adult.
Right. And we had the Illinois Junior Golf Association executive director on earlier, and the organization's doing a fundraiser in next week to raise money for basically tournament scholarships. You know, if you can't afford the greens fee or whatever, and it's not, you know, it's not, you know, it's just anybody who can't afford it can apply for it. And so they're trying to open their doors a little bit, you know, given the fact that it's a small organization and there's only so much money to go around. But, you know, any little bit helps. And I think that's what really your message is.
No doubt about it. And I recall me growing up around Chicago, there was a program called NAMAGA. I don't know if they're still around.
Yes.
But
Northern Illinois Men's Golf Association.
Yeah.
Yep.
And on a Monday, we could play some of the finest country clubs in the state. It was incredible for like five, I don't know what it was. It was very, very cheap. And by way of the MAGA tour, not only did I get to play great golf courses, I got to meet Dave Ogren and Gary Hallberg and Gary Pins. And it was great.
Legendary names in Illinois golf. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
And they got to meet Michael Cooper.
Yeah, how about that? And some of those, when we bump into each other at a tour event or something, we start a conversation. They remember and I remember. It's great. Yeah. That's the beauty of the game.
So this year you had to cancel at Harborside, your tournament at Harborside. But next year you have you're coming to Illinois, correct? Tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This year was to be the third year in a row we played Harborside, and our players, they love the golf course. It's so difficult. But the restriction, travel restrictions that were placed on Chicago, kind of we felt that participation would be hampered. And so last minute we reached out to the PGA Tour, who we have a great relationship with, and they were able to secure TPC Deer Run in the Quad Cities area. And they welcomed us with open arms, and we had a great event down there. And that area was great. And so we're currently putting together our 2021 schedule with 10 events, and Chicago always is on our map because we have some board members there. But it's kind of hard not to want to go back to TPC Deer Run as well. So I'm not sure how that's going to shake out. We'll know probably in the next 30 days.
Well, once you get that Quad City, charm and welcoming attitude, it's hard to get away from it. It's awesome, and the golf. Not to mention the golf course is pretty awesome too.
Oh my goodness, it really is. Once again, our players fell in love with it as well. But they do like Harborside, and selfishly for me, coming back to Chicago allows me to visit my relatives and see everybody. And they typically will come out to the event just to hang around. So I never want Chicago off the schedule.
No, for sure. For sure.
That makes sense. And I'm curious, Michael, as we let you go, and we appreciate your time. So it sounds like are you the first in your family, or were there anyone else in your family or close circle of friends that was into golf, or is this something you kind of just discovered on your own?
My dad took it up at 40 years old, and he took my brother and I out to the driving range. And my brother's 3 years older than me, and I always tell him he loved the game too till I started beating him. He couldn't take his little brother whooping on. So I was the only one who carried on. My oldest brother took up the game more or less to mentor me, basically. He would be one who'd take me out to Jackson Park on a Sunday morning. We'd tee off before you could even see. But he took it up just because little brother played. But I was the only one who really fell in love with the game, yes.
Well, it's still things are still going strong at Jackson Park, wonderful golf community down there. And, of course, you've been gone a while from the Chicago area, so they actually changed the name of Pipe of Peace to Joe Louis the Champ, because that's where Joe Louis used to play when he came to Chicago. He was a golf nut, too, so it's good. And, you know, one other thing I wanted to mention is that the First Tee Greater Chicago is really getting organized in terms of getting permanent sites in around Chicago. They're working on getting Waveland, and they want to have a south and west side permanent site too for the kids to come. And I think that will help. You know, if they have a permanent site, that'll be good, because then they can have programs there and et cetera. And I know they're working on that, and I know you're familiar with that type of work, Michael. So just wanted to mention that.
It's incredible. I think it's incredible. You mentioned the name change at Pipe of Peace, and I was in Florida at the time that happened. But as strange as it, the irony of it is that I worked for Joe Louis Barrel for 13 years at the First Tee. Yeah, so yeah, when we talked about it a lot, he remembered Pipe of Peace too, because his dad, there's a picture with Joe Louis Barrel Jr. Like 3 years old with the champ. And they were at Pipe of Peace Golf Course. That was the dad would take him out there. But yeah, I still call it the Pipe, but I know it is Joe Louis the Champ.
All right. We'll let you do that.
All right, no, guys. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We appreciate your time, Michael. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Michael.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Have a great day. So there is a Chicago native, Dr. Michael Cooper, and I actually, forgive me, I did not realize until I'm just reading my bio info here in front of me that he is a PhD, so he is Dr. Michael Cooper, Barry.
There you go.
He has earned the title, but no, Advocates Professional Golf, APGATour.org, and chairman of the Diversity Task Force for the World Golf Foundation. It's interesting, and that's why I always like to know the backstory. He said he was the youngest of seven, and obviously he's built his career around the game of golf. And, you know, you talk about, and you know, we asked him some of his background and some of, you know, the efforts to get young minority children into the game of golf. It's certainly, I think it's exactly what you said, Barry. It's an access thing. It's not necessarily... you know, that kids of different backgrounds don't like the game of golf. It's what do you have access to, right? And that's why it's important to get them more access.
Yeah, and even when kids have access, they're not into golf. I'll never forget being at a little press group thing down in Florida. Jack Nicklaus was there and Ken Griffey Jr. and there were a couple of other guys, and they wanted to, you know, reach out and get more kids to play the game. So here's Jack Nicklaus sitting up there. He says, well, I have 22 grandchildren and only two of them play golf. You know, and one of his sons played for Florida State, tight end, and went into the pros. I think he played for the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, here you have Jack Nicklaus now. So there's no problem with access, right? Because Jack Nicklaus is, you know, they live
Zero,
on a golf
yeah.
course. You know, they live on a golf course, and they have a lot of golf clubs around. And I'm sure Jack would be happy to teach him a few things. So kids may or may not be interested in golf, but they've been exposed to it. And whereas we have a lot of kids in the cities who don't get exposed to it. It's much more of a, to me... it's a rural game, right? There's a lot of people downstate who play it. Why? Because it's less expensive to play there. And up here in Chicago, if you're a member of a country club and you have access, the kids have access to the game. So it's just a different type of deal. And I just remember as a kid, just not being growing up near a golf course. And yet I probably was near one and I just didn't realize it. And my parents weren't into it. So whatever.
You know, you have also been involved, though, once you discovered your passion for it and your love for the game. Although, as you love to joke around about your game, actually are very committed to the game of golf and the sport and playing and talking about it, and you've worked in it. So It's one of those things, and I think he said it too. You know, the game just kind of, you know, he tried it, and he grew to love it.
Right, and you don't, if you had to be good at golf in order to fall in love with it, the golf would not have anybody around because nobody's nobody's right. really any good at it. So that's the one saving grace about it all is that even the guys who are playing the tour, you know, when you see Tiger Woods playing on the early coverage on the Golf Channel, you know, because he's in last place. You know, and you watch him hit it around and you go, wow, that's not the Tiger I knew from the year 2000. He's a different guy. So he hits it relatively and comparatively poorly. So it gives the rest of us a little bit of a hope in life that you can they play pretty bad, too, sometimes. So,
yes,
comparatively speaking.
Yes, they do. Well, and you know, we'll talk. We'll get back to what's happening on the tour this week when we return. And then in our last segment on the show, we'll talk writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's down there at the Tour Championship this week. So we'll talk to Stan to close the show. In the meantime, your texts at 312-644-6767. Text Zone brought to you by Rosen. Save time and shop online at RosenHyundai.com. We do have some text. You had asked about great Chicago golf experiences, Barry. We've got a few. We'll get to those when we come back, and then we'll return, as I mentioned, to the Tour Championship. It's The Scorecard. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito talking golf every Saturday morning with you for 2 hours from 6 to 8 a.m. We're down in Atlanta this week, Barry, and we'll head on out there literally with our guest, the last segment of the show, but the Tour Championship at Eastlake Golf Club down in Atlanta. And some interesting goings-on, as you might imagine. With lots of dough at stake too, a lot of the old greenbacks, as they like to call them, at stake with the FedEx Cup Championship, right?
Right, Mike. They've gone to $15 million for the winner of the FedEx Cup, so that's exciting.
You could get places on that.
You can. Hey, I just want to mention this is a little bit of a swerve, you know, a hard right turn. Poor Mike. I was just going to say, Mike, you know, just to talk about some golf courses in the Chicago area. We've had this around, been hanging around that I've wanted to talk about for a while, but Golf Week comes out with its top 100 best courses to play in the United States, and they also do a list of the top courses in each state. And so, you know, we are really located not too far from a lot of really terrific golf courses, one of which is Cog Hill, number 4, Dubs Dread, which is ranked among the top 100, you know, public courses you can play. And then we have a number of others. Mostly are kind of at big resorts, like Whistling Straits is number 5. That's up at Kohler, up in Wisconsin. Then you've got the two courses at Sand Valley in Nakusa, Wisconsin, which is a few hours away from here. Both courses, the Mammoth Dunes and the Sand Valley course. Then over in Arcadia, Michigan, you've got Arcadia Bluffs. That's about, I'd say, a 4 or 5 hour drive. Then one that's really kind of under the radar, although they've been advertising a lot on the Golf Channel lately, is Lasonia Lynx, a top 100 course in Green Lake, Wisconsin, Erin Hills up in Wisconsin. So we've got a lot going on here, and so it's right. pretty cool. You know, you could take a nice weekend trip and have fun, you know, just with some really great golf courses in our area.
Well, for sure. And, you know, and we talked, we just last hour, we talked to Brian Morrison from Olympia Fields. Olympia Fields certainly up there. Medina certainly up there. We talked earlier this season with Peggy Kaczynski, longtime Chicago sportscaster. She is a member there at Medina and talked about how she kind of came to love the game of golf as an adult, really learning and playing for the first time. And that's where she plays. And in fact, I saw after she appeared on her show, she managed a hole in one there at Medina. So that,
she did.
Hey.
She did. God bless her. And that'll be chronicled in detail in the November issue of the Chicago District Golfer magazine. We'll get a,
nice.
We'll get a full accounting of that. But yeah, and then it's just as far as Illinois courses, you know, they do a top, they've got 15 courses in Illinois that they list. You know, these are public courses that you can play, whereas, like, you know, obviously Medina, Olympia Fields, Skokie Country Club, Shore Acres. I mean, you could just, Chicago Golf, Butler National, you could just mm-hmm. reel off all these unbelievable private courses.
Right.
But, you know, not everybody can play them. And, you know, Mike, you can call up and get a tee time, I'm sure, over at Chicago Golf. But, you know, not everybody has that kind of clock.
I wouldn't be so sure.
So, you know, we've got Cog Hill again as number one, TPC Deer Run, number two, the Highlands of Elgin, Stonewall Orchard, Thunderhawk, Preserve at Oak Meadows, a wonderful golf course, the Glen Club, Mistwood, Ravislow, Mount Prospect Golf Course, which is quite underrated in my opinion, Bowes Creek, Cantini. So these are great courses, and these are courses that I'm sure most of our listeners are aware of. But, you know, if you got time to travel, you know, there's no traffic. So you can pretty much drive out to Cantini if you want to and play, you know, that golf course, which is fantastic. And then there's one up in Zion called Shepherd's Crook that's not even on the list that should mm-hmm. be. So anyway, I just wanted to throw some of those out. And of course, Glenview Park
yep.
is a nice little golf course to play and a lot of fun. And anyway, goes on and on.
Yep. No, and we actually got a text as we're talking about this, Barry, from the 309, which is Central Illinois. And this guy texts, Central Illinois golf calls cost around $50 for a really good course. I pay only $16 when I go after 3 p.m. So
yeah.
For sure. And the downstate courses as well. And you mentioned not only within the state borders, but certainly we are a very easy drive from Wisconsin. We're a very easy drive from Illinois. We're a very easy, or from Indiana, I mean, and we're a very easy drive from the Quad Cities and from Iowa. I mean, the Quad Cities, obviously, some of that is Illinois, but some of that is Iowa. Mm-hmm. Certainly lots of options right within a few mile, hour radius, I should say, of Chicago.
Well, really, and, you know, back in the day, Wisconsin really didn't have a lot. They had a few courses, but now with the development of the Kohler properties, they've got four courses up there, Black Wolf Run. I think they've got 36 holes in that complex, and then they've got the Whistling Straits, the Straits course, and then they've got the Irish course. They've built, that really was the beginning of this explosion of resort golf in Wisconsin. Now you've got Erin Hills, which hosted the U.S. Open in 2017, and then you've got the two courses at Sand Valley, and the mm-hmm. and they've got this awesome par 3 course too there. So Wisconsin really has become a golf destination type of thing. Whereas, you know, before that happened, Michigan was the place that you would go way up to northern Michigan, places like Boyne, which is, you know, it's a solid, you know, it's about a 7-8 hour drive, depending on how fast you go. And I mean, there's a lot of great golf in northern Michigan, no, you know, for sure. But so we're kind of blessed in the Midwest and in the Chicago mm-hmm. area because we're central to all this. And, you know, it's September is here. And so if you're going to play and you're going to travel, this is a good time. You can get good rates and the weather's perfect, you know, this time of year. And it's going to get bad around October 15th. So, you know, play fast.
Don't remind me, Barry. Please, let's keep this good weather around, even though we know it's not going to happen. We asked earlier in the show, and while I'm reading texts, I may as well read a few of these,
yeah.
too, because we asked about your favorite Chicago golf memory. And I'm a little young for Hale Irwin, believe it or not, but somebody texts in Hale Irwin's run around Medina's 18th.
Yeah, that was great. That was it's the 30th year of Hale Irwin's U.S. Open victory at Medina. He's still the oldest U.S. Open champion. He played that tournament on a sponsor exemption because he had won the U.S. Open twice before. And he's going to be honored out at Wingfoot, which is where he won, I believe, his first. So, yeah, that was great. And the thing about it is he made this long putt on the 18th green. He was wearing these crazy red pants, and he ran around the green and high-fived everybody. But the thing was, that putt, he didn't really know it at the time. That putt got him into an 18-hole playoff with a guy named Mike Donald. And the next day, Hale Irwin beat Mike Donald on the 19th hole of their what was supposed to be, you know, the 18-hole playoff, and then all of a sudden it was tied after 18 holes, and they had to go, and so the USGA, I guess, said, oh, I guess we will have to make this a sudden death playoff rather than play another 18 the next day. So on the hole number one, Hale Irwin made a birdie, and Mike Donald made a par, and that was it. Hale Irwin won.
Hale Irwin in his red pants running around the 18th hole at Medina. So that's certainly qualifies as a good memory. And then a question which I do not know the answer to, Barry, but you may as we read this before we head to break. Did you guys ever hear or see the make percentage on DJ's putt or Rahm's putt last week? Oftentimes they show it on the telecast, but I never saw it. I was wondering if you had seen this. My guess would be about 4% for DJ and 2% for Rahm. My guess would be even lower than that, but I you know, that's my.
Yeah, I honestly did not see it anywhere. So apologize for not being total font of information. So
no, well, hey, you gave us a good 2 minutes on Hale Irwin from 30 years ago. That was pretty impressive,
yeah,
Gary.
More than you'd ever want to know, right?
No, so that's what this show is for. We're here for your golf memories and our listeners as well. We will connect with Stan Autry. He's the longtime beat writer, golf writer at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He is covering this week's Tour Championship down in Atlanta. We'll talk to Stan next when we return on the Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito here at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, yeah. 7:41 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You have the Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, and we are glad to jump on out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. There we find the longtime golf writer with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's the editor of Golf Georgia. It's the official magazine of the Georgia State Golf Association. He writes for PGAtour.com. It's Stan Autry joining us now. And, Stan, good morning. We appreciate your time.
You're with you.
Well, Stan, you are witnessing the continued mano-a-mano battle between Dustin Johnson and John. You know, you could see him. You could see him on a football field somewhere, but instead they're battling it out on the golf course.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun yesterday. Great scoring conditions, and both of those guys. It was a great battle for 18 holes. And it's nice to see some of the other guys kind of inching their way up into this two-man fight. I think it's going to be more interesting before the weekend is over.
You know, Rory McIlroy, you know, there's that thing about there's like a new father halo or something that some of these guys have right after they become fathers, especially for the first time. You know, I'm sure you've noticed it over the years with different players. And it seems like Rory, you know, hadn't picked up a club in a couple of days, goes out. You know, I don't think he, I think he didn't miss a fairway. He was making all kinds of putts and seems super relaxed and, you know, and hasn't shaved in a week.
It's funny. I wrote about that today, about how the new dad thing kicked in. And, you know, a lot of guys, when you have your first child or anytime you have a child, you'll buy them something like a special keepsake or a gift or something that they can look back on and think of fondly when they grow up. Well, you know, the first hole, Rory goes out, he birdies the first hole. So there's your first little thank you for little poppy. Then, you know, what better than a second FedEx Cup championship in a row? And what could $10 million do for a
well,
baby?
It's anything
after that.
But, Stan, I think it's $15 million. Don't they get $15 million now for the FedEx? You know, in the old days, before inflation, it was $10
million. Yeah, it was pocket change back then. But, yeah, you're right. But that'll keep a kid in diapers and pacifiers and formula for a few days.
Yeah.
I think young Poppy McElroy will be well taken care of. I'm pretty sure that's the case. Stan, as a longtime guy covering golf, with the staggered hey, Dustin Johnson, here's your 10 under par, and you know, John Rahm, you're at 8 under par, and so on and so forth. How does that, do you think, mentally toy with the players? Kind of we haven't started playing yet, but you're already at X. You know, and now you have to figure out a way to climb this leaderboard.
Well, after talking to some of them and hearing a lot of them talk about it, they've kind of embraced the whole concept. And it took me a while to kind of wrap my old brain around it. But it's a whole lot better than just having two tournaments going on at once. You're trying to watch two leaderboards and keep up with it. Just really, really was confusing. This is just right out in front of you. And I thought Abraham Answer had a good response yesterday. He said he looks at it like it's a 5-day tournament. And here's what I had the first day. I started out, 5 under, okay? And then he can build on that. And I thought that was a good way to look at it. Like, you've got one in the books already. Here's where you stand and you go. So I think the people that look at it that way maybe have a better chance than if they just try to think, man, I'm 10 behind and I don't have a chance. I think it's just the way you look at it, but I think it's a good idea. I think it's working out well.
Yeah, they definitely have evolved this FedEx Cup concept over the years, and I think I agree with you. I think they've kind of found something that seems to work. I know that they would want the winner of this tournament also to win the FedEx Cup, so they don't have two guys, one guy standing there with the tournament trophy and the other guy with the FedEx Cup. Does you think this staggered thing, where you give the guy 10 under par, the leader 10 under par, and the guy behind him 8 under par, do you think that helps create the situation where one guy's going to win both?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way it comes down to now. You just win the tournament and you win the FedEx Cup. And, the worst thing was several years ago, and you remember this, Vijay Singh had won the first couple of playoff tournaments, and he had the FedEx Cup cinch before he even showed up at Eastlake. All he had to do was show up and play 72 holes and not break an ankle or something, and he played that way. I mean, and there's Vijay, no factor the whole week, showing up holding the FedEx Cup at the end of the Well, that's not a problem now. Last year when Rory started in fifth place and won the tournament, he was the FedEx Cup champion. And, Rory was nice enough to send pizzas to the press box, and we appreciated that. But it's just so cut and dry now. Just you win this, and you're the FedEx Cup champion.
Stan, we certainly know there's one easy way to sway the media, and that's with free food. So we certainly know the Rory pizzas were very well received, I'm sure.
And then one more leftover either, Barry.
Yeah,
for sure. As you look at the field and where everyone sits right now with DJ and Rahm at 13 under, Justin at 11 under, and Rory at 9 under, and then on down the line, you mentioned Abraham Answer, he's there at 7 under. Who do you see in this weird season, and we've talked about COVID far too much and more than we care to when we're talking about sports, but in this oddball season or this oddball year on the tour, who have you seen to be the most impressive the way they've played?
Well, I think those top four guys have been really good just all year. I mean, Dustin Johnson's had a great year. Justin Thomas has been so solid. And Rory, if you look back to the way Rory was playing before things shut down, I mean, he was playing as well as he's ever played. So I think you're kind of seeing, he kind of didn't have a great summer, but you're kind of seeing, the real Rory McIlroy coming back this week. And I think those four guys have just, they're the ones. You got some great players out there, but those four are kind of the king of the hill right now.
Yeah. And how does this, what's really weird is that the U.S. Open is in about 12 days, which is, it's really very strange. And we had, and here in Chicago, we kind of were talking all show earlier in the show, kind of, we had the U.S. Open here last week at Olympia Fields, in terms of the conditions and the excitement, right, et cetera. But any preview of the U.S. Open that you might have, any favorites you might see, or what do you think about that?
Well, that's such a great place to have the U.S. Open. It's just a shame that there's not going to be people there.
Right.
I remember the way it was in 06. It was just so dramatic and so much fun, except for, Phil didn't have a real great time that weekend. Right. I think you're going to see more of the same. The same guys, even though it's, the week after another great tournament. That's just the way things are right now. It's just going to be a weird fall. I think you're going to see most of the same guys that you've been seeing for a while. And I think it could be a course that Colin Morikawa plays really well at. I could see him being a consistent fairway guy who could do really well at Wingfoot.
I was just going to mention, whatever happened to Colin Morikawa? Colin, we hardly knew ye, right? He wins the PGA, and then he kind of disappears for a while. And you go, remember that guy who won the PGA so long ago? It seems like so long ago that he won it. And, he's kind of been invisible these last few events. But I agree with you. He's certainly a major championship type of player, great iron player.
He started fifth like Rory did last year, and we talked to him before this thing started, and he was in a pretty good place, and he started out really well yesterday and just had a horrible back nine, took a double bogey on the 17th hole and kind of played himself out of the mix. But, boy, he's got a great game. I can see him doing some great things coming up.
Yeah, no, and he obviously missed the memo, Stan, when Barry and I crowned him the next big thing after his after his win out there on the West Coast. So, no, it is, and it's cool. It's cool seeing the young guys. Colin is certainly one of them, but your Victor Hovlands and your Scotty Schefflers of the world, that they come in and they're competitive immediately.
Yeah, it's like those guys are so ready when they come out of college now. Look what Colin did. He came out, didn't have any status, and got his card. Scotty went a more traditional way, played the web.com, got his card. These guys are just tour ready now. College golf gets them to the point where they can get out and compete. And so, they don't mind mixing it up with these guys. We can remember they used to be kind of an awe factor. You're kind of in awe of everything we got out there. When you see Nicholas or Palmer or Watson, that's just not the case anymore. These guys just don't care.
And we haven't even mentioned Bryson DeChambeau this week. All we did earlier in the summer was talk about him and how far he hit it and everything. And now he's pretty far down. Shoots even par yesterday, I guess. So, that's not going to get you anything.
No, it's not going to get you anything at all. He's just kind of an afterthought, right now. He's still hitting it far. It's just maybe not as straight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. Well, great, Stan. Thank you so much for joining us. And have a great week at East Lake. And, zoom on, my friend.
Well, that's the only thing we can do. And unfortunately, we'll be zooming at the Masters. So that'll be the next thing we're zooming at. But
yeah.
Enjoy talking to you guys this morning. And hope you have a great rest of your fall golf season up there in the Chicagoland.
Thank you, Stan. Really appreciate you joining us.
You guys come down and see us.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Would love to. Thanks, Stan. Stan Autry, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Golf Georgia Magazine. He's down there at the Tour Championship this week. And, yeah, that's of all the oddball things happening this year, Barry, that's certainly one of them. The press conferences that you and I and everyone else are used to watching or participating in are now all Zoom calls. So you have to press a button to raise your hand to ask a question. You have to record them on your computer. Otherwise, forget about having any of the audio. And it's just, it is what it is. We're adapting and overcoming, right?
We are. And I honestly, Mike, I think that if you look at the coverage, the TV people are doing really doing an unbelievable job. CBS did great coming out of the box with it all and being totally organized, and they just did terrific. And I think that NBC is doing an equally terrific job the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, we have a lot to look forward to, and even with the season, the official tour season winding down, but then all of a sudden, the really big season starts with the U.S. Open and the Masters coming up. So a Masters is in November, and the U.S. Open is in a couple of weeks. So,
if there's one good thing that's come from all of this with sports is that even though we were without it for a while, now we've just got our cuppeth runneth overflowing, Barry. we have everything right now. We have two first place baseball teams. We have Bears starting next week. I won't even talk about Mitch Trubisky. I'll leave that for my colleagues later on in the day. You have basketball playoffs. You have hockey playoffs. Golf, obviously. It's great stuff. We are. Our guests today, Matt Wenmaker from the Illinois Junior Golf Association, Brian Morrison from Olympia Fields, Michael Cooper from the Advocates Professional Golf Association, and we just talked to Stan Autry, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thanks to you, Barry. A great time, as always.
Thank you, Mike. It was great, and we were guest-intensive today.
Yes, lots to talk about, right? We'll resume again. We'll resume again next weekend and talk more about our FedEx Cup champion and everything else going on in the great game of golf. Stick around here on The Score. Early odds, Joe Ostrowski, our buddy, has it next. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here for The Scorecard on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.